right, welcome back to the From the Sidelines podcast, or welcome if you didn't check us out last week. Obviously, last week was our first episode. I thought it went pretty well. We could do things better. Maybe this week will be a little tighter, a little less, I don't know, amateur-ish. I'm probably not starting it off great, but nonetheless, we are back for the From the Sidelines podcast, and today we're going to talk about, obviously, our headlines, what's happening on our various websites. We'll get into Austin White, Portland Tribune sports editor, who will talk about his background and how he came to be and how he came to the Portland Tribune. We'll talk a little soccer and volleyball playoff talk. We'll talk football. And then at the end, I will again give you something that I hate, which came up at the end of last week, and I thought again about today. So without further ado, I again is Wade Evanson. Austin White is here. Tanner Russ, Andy Dekoff. And what are we talking about on our websites? Who wants to start? Austin, go for it.
I can take it. Let's see. I feel kind of bad. I feel like I might have jinxed a little bit, but I wrote a story on Cleveland boys soccer and how they started the year kind of rough. They lost 21 seniors from their team last year, but they were undefeated in the league. I believe they were 4-0-2. They still haven't lost. They're 4-0-2 atop the league, and all they needed to do was beat Roosevelt on Monday night, and they tied Roosevelt. So now there's a three-way tie atop the PIL standings. I have no idea how it's going to break down because soccer has all the ties, so that's fun. But you could read about the turnaround that is Cleveland boys soccer. It's still impressive what they were able to do after starting the year just with a bunch of new guys. You know, they tied Lincoln, who's been the number one team pretty much all year, and that kind of set this all off. The other big story I have is St. Mary's volleyball, kind of the same deal. They've got a new coach this year in Wendy Stammer, who came over from Lake Ridge. It's just, I wouldn't call it a big turnaround. You know, St. Mary's was a playoff team last year, but improvement. And, the players talked about a different attitude. You know, things just kind of feel different with Coach Stammer leading the way. And led them to a 19 seed, and they're going to play Tanner's Newberg squad over there in the first round. Going to try to pull off the upset. It's an interesting story for St. Mary's. Kind of having a standout year volleyball-wise. Those are the big things up for me online right now.
How about you, Tanner? What do you have cooking on your website?
So the most recent story I put up on our website for Prep Sports anyways was about Colton football. The little town out east of Malala is currently having its best football season since the mid 80s when they went to the state championship game and played to a draw. Colton is currently, let me make sure I get this right. They are currently 8-0, number one in the state. And I think there's like a few different factors. The big fish at 2A kind of moved up to 3A to continue playing 11-man football. So Kennedy's no longer in their league. That's a boogeyman they don't have to worry about. Salem Academy also moved up, although they're having kind of a down year this year. And then another part of it that Coach Jason Stewart told me was that, you know, they're playing 9-man football right now. There's two less guys they have to worry about making mistakes on offense, and two less guys they have to worry about coming across and kind of getting in the way of things on defense. So it's kind of just like this happy team of destiny right now. They're number one in the state at 2A, a place they have not been super often. They've been a real 500 team. They absolutely smoked Jervis on Jervis's homecoming night. And they have a pretty stiff test to end the regular season this week. They're going to travel down to Culver and play a solid 4-4 squad that I think their record is a little deceiving, but it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, Colton is firing on all cylinders. They're looking like a real solid squad. And then tonight I'm going to have a story on the Woodburn girls soccer team going up on the Independence website. They kind of turned around a real ugly start to this season. Coach Andrea Whiteman scheduled just her formerly 4A team against just a slew of really good 6A and 5A teams, including like Jesuit, Thurston, Wilsonville. I think Ida B. Wells is also a preseason opponent. And since starting out the season 0-4-3, they're now 4-1-1 in league and have an outside chance of winning the Mid-Willamette Conference title. So it's just a cool turnaround. She said they've been working on passing the ball more, kind of like winning through possession and not dropping balls over the top to try and get into scoring position. So, you know, they play a Lebanon team that should be overmatched against Woodburn, but we'll see what happens. There's no gimmies in high school sports. So, yeah, those are the things I've got and will have soon on the Woodburn Independent website.
Andy, what's going on in the Westland Lake Oswego Clackamas world?
All sorts of stuff going on over here. So on the website right now, one of the big ones is a feature story I did on Oregon City sophomore volleyball star Paige Thies. She has developed into one of the top players in the state. She's an outside hitter, just a big kid, can jump out of the building, slam it, you know, through the floor. She's just a really impressive player to watch. So caught up with her a little bit, talked with her and Oregon City coach Erica Profjord. The Pioneers have the number 4 seed in the 6A playoffs right now. So they are my highest ranked team in my coverage area going into the playoffs. And Paige Thies is a huge reason why. So I've got a story on the Oregon City News website about that. A lot of volleyball stuff last week, actually, thanks to the smoke kind of pushing us all inside. So I also caught up with the Wilsonville team, which is technically undefeated, although their head coach Scott Thompson did divulge to me that they have dropped some pool play games that aren't reflected on the OSAA website. So there's kind of a cool story in there about how this team just, you know, they actually do have a taste of defeat this year and they hate it and they don't want any more of it. So nice little catch up with this really good Wilsonville team that's the number 1 in 5A and looking to close out a perfect year in the Northwest Oregon Conference this week. And also caught up with Milwaukee Volleyball, which got its first win in 57 matches over 3 years, which was pretty cool. You know, they did it out in Hood River earlier in the week, so I wasn't there to see that, but they played Wilsonville at home. So I kind of got to catch up with both of those teams and learn a little bit more about this Milwaukee team that's, you know, been close but no cigar for so long and finally got over the hump. So it was kind of cool to talk to some of the seniors who've been there for so much of this and to kind of see the relief of them getting that that monkey off their back. So that was a pretty cool story in there as well. As far as football stuff, I covered West Lynn just looking like a juggernaut last week against Lake Ridge and winning 58-6. They scored 51 points in the first half. It was a really impressive display from a high school football team. It's hard to put it, you know, differently than that. The second half, everything, you know, slowed down. West Lynn probably could have put up a lot more points than they did. But no, it was just a really impressive performance from them. So, you know, another number 1 team in the state right now. Although we'll see, because one of the teams that's ranked behind them is Sheldon, who beat them a few weeks back in West Lynn. So it'll be interesting to see how everything breaks out. But right now, West Lynn is just playing like a team on a mission. And then one last story involving one of those West Lynn football players, Jackson Shellstad. He was one of 2 players, 2 high schoolers to sign Oregon's first high school NIL deals, along with Sophia Bell from Jesuit, which pops back over into Wayne's world.
Well, if we're talking about my West Side stuff, I did, in fact, you know, you and I both had articles on Shellstad and Bell signing NIL deals with Portland Gear, I believe, is who they have an agreement with. I know when I talked to Sophia, she didn't really want to disclose the details of the agreement. So you can all speculate as to what they may or may not be getting as you know, a result of that agreement. But it was interesting just because they are the first two to have something done, and we'll see kind of where that goes from here. Otherwise, on my side of town, I've got a couple different features. I did a feature on a Forest Grove cross country kid by the name of Jacob Friesen, who is running his first year of cross country as a senior. He was a soccer player prior, but decided to run cross country this year and has improved his times by up to a minute and a half, I think, from the beginning of the year. And he's put himself in the conversation, at least for a district championship this week in the Pacific Conference, which they'll be running on Wednesday in McMinnville. And so I talked to him and we discussed kind of his progression from soccer to cross country and why he did it, how he's enjoyed it, and what he hopes to do from here. So you can find that on the Forest Grove News Times website. I've also got a story on Sherwood basketball player Ava Hayden, who committed to the University of Iowa this past weekend. She is a junior this year and was the Pacific Conference Player of the Year last season and was the Freshman of the year prior. But she is a 6'4 post who, you know, has good footwork, great vision. You know, she's, her offensive game probably could use a little work, but she's got a couple years to take care of that. But I talked to her yesterday morning, actually, about her commitment and why she chose to go to Iowa. So you can find that on the Times, Tiger Tualatin Times website or the Sherwood Gazette website. And you can find out what prompted her decision and why she wanted to get to the Midwest, opposed to some of the other schools that she looked at out here on the West. I believe she went to Utah. I believe she went to Gonzaga. I believe she had a couple other offers. And, you know, she may get more offers to come, but at this point, she's committed to Iowa, and you can read why on our website. Beyond that, I have also a feature on Aloha boys soccer, which has been very impressive. They're ranked, I think, just inside the top 10 now in the state. And they actually finished last night with a 1-0 win over Sunset. They finished tied atop the Metro League standings with Jesuit, who they tied 3-3 earlier this season. So I talked to their coach last week, and we talked about kind of how that team came to be. They had a couple of kids come back to the school from the Timbers Academy team. But he talked about, oh, they also had a kid who came back from Serbia, if you can believe that. He had gone to his family's from Serbia, so he went back there for a year and then came back to the school this year. So the interesting aspect of that team is that, you know, they have a lot of talent, and he would tell you that, but they had to kind of assimilate all these new kids in, and one of their seniors has done a really good job of kind of help melding that team together, and, you know, to the point where they've, you know, they tied number one Jesuit and ultimately ended up tied atop the standings with Jesuit as well. So they're excited about going into the state playoffs. They feel like they have a run in them, and where that stops, you know, they don't know. So, you know, they believe they're a potential state championship team. So you can find that on the Beaverton Valley Times or Tiger Times website as well. I also did kind of lastly, there's an article on Forest Grove football. We can get into that a little later when we talk football after we get into the volleyball soccer playoffs. But Forest Grove, who had won three in a row, kind of came back to earth a bit last week against Wilsonville. And so they had a bit of an eye opening as to where they need to get to and how they need to play in order to really, you know, jump a level from, you know, potential playoff participant to, you know, playoff contender where they want to be. And that is on the Forest Grove News Times website as well. So that's kind of what I got going on. I think we can go talk now to, we can send things off to Austin where he's going to tell you, you know, last week I talked about how I got here at Pamplin and my background. Austin now is going to talk about how he got to the Portland Tribune and what made him who he is.
Oh yeah. What made, let's see. No. it's always fun talking about yourself, right? So I am from, this little suburb town in Colorado, Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Our high school is the Farmers, which has always been point of pride. Go Farmers, go Wheat Ridge Farmers. It's right outside of Denver to the west. You've probably more likely heard of Golden or Lakewood or Arvada. Those are some of the bigger suburbs around Wheat Ridge. But yeah, born and raised there. After that, I went to Colorado State up in Fort Collins. Took 4 years there and then worked 3 years 2 hours south of Denver in this town called Pueblo. If you've heard of Pueblo, it's probably not for a good reason. They get a really bad kind of rap in Colorado, but, you know, I loved all 3 years there. You know, the stereotypes and whatnot are not what they're meant to be, or not really that true. I love the people there. They gave me my start in this industry, so I can never, you know, always going to be thankful for that. So while I'm in Portland, my fiance, love her to death. She's way smarter than me. She's in the doctorate program at Portland State University, psychology department. That kind of prompted our move here, and you know, I was looking for a job, and Portland Tribune position opened up, and it's just kind of felt like fate. It's love being here. You know, I kind of work with all these guys, kind of organizing things behind the scenes a little bit, but that's not what you readers or listeners care about. What I cover is the PIL schools for the most part, and most of the other Portland schools that kind of in here. So Central Catholic, Park Rose are the other big ones, but even the small ones too, try to get out to, you know, like the LaSalle North Catholic, and there's Riverdale. And, you know, I wrote a cool story last year on a Columbia Christian runner. So anything Portland, I try to get to. I also spend my time being the main person for the Trailblazers as well. But preps wise, yeah, no, it's been great being here. You know, I've loved being in Portland. I've loved the city, and it was a definitely needed change. You know, Colorado will always be home, but I hate snow. So if you can give me rain, you know, I'm fine with that. I don't have to shovel rain. So it's been a blast here, and I'm glad to have these guys here as a sports crew. Love PMG and these three right here, Wade, Tanner, and Andy. So yeah, happy to be here. Thanks, everyone.
Well, I think the interesting part when it comes to all of our jobs is, you know, while I'm on the west side, Tanner does a lot of stuff, you know, I guess south technically. Andy's, you know, southeast side of town. You know, you're obviously in town. You know, we all kind of do things throughout the company, you know, and the area. You know, I write columns for the Portland Tribune. Tanner and Andy do work college basketball and college football work for the Portland Tribune. So we all kind of, you know, whether it's preps, whether it's, you know, Blazers, whether it's Timbers, whether it's, you know, Oregon State stuff, you know, we're all kind of got our toes dipped in all of those waters. So it makes it kind of interesting, I guess, keeps it interesting for us, and also provides us probably a little more widespread perspective as to like the state's sports content and the landscape. So that helps. I think it helps, you know, all of us really when it comes to what we're talking about, whether it's high school or whatever.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, well, we got our uncomfortable second intro out of the way. You guys, Tanner, Andy, can look forward to theirs in the coming weeks. You know, when you have to go to the front of the class and speak, you know, it'll be good for you. Builds character. Moving on, yeah. Though, let's get into some of the soccer and volleyball coverage we're going to look at this week. The playoffs are obviously starting in volleyball Wednesday night, and girls and boys soccer, I believe, is Saturday will be the first games. They've yet to kind of put those brackets together, so we can't really talk about matchups, but we can talk about maybe some of our teams and the runs that they expect to make going into the state playoffs. But let's just start with volleyball. I know that on Wednesday night, I'm going to try to hit a couple different venues. I've got a lot of my teams participating, you know, be it from the Metro League, the Pacific Conference, the Three Rivers League with Tigard and Tualatin, which when it comes to volleyball, they're not going to be there, unfortunately. But I've got smaller schools as well, but really what I'm going to be looking at is Westview. I'm going to go out to Westview and watch them play their first round game against, I believe, Lincoln. I haven't looked at the bracket again, but they're playing Lincoln. That's a 2-31, I think, matchup. So I don't suspect that Westview is going to have a lot of problem in that game. But I'll also be zipping over to Banks, where the 3A Banks, where they won their Coastal Range League title this year in a playoff over Corbett, and they've been really trending up. So Banks is playing, I think, Douglas, which you would think with Banks hosting an initial playoff game, they would be a heavy favorite, but they're not. They're actually, I think they're ranked, it's like a 14-19 matchup, which I guess speaks to a little bit of maybe the Coastal Range League's lack of formidability when it comes to, you know, the state. But also maybe Banks' schedule out of conference. But it'll be interesting to see what Banks brings to the table, because I don't honestly know. They've gotten a ton better since the beginning of the year, and they are riding high. I can tell you that their confidence level is as high as it gets. So how they kind of come through that matchup and where they go from there will be interesting to me. And then obviously, like I said, I'll be at Westview, but I've got, you know, Jesuit playing. Obviously, I've got Sherwood and Barlow playing. I've got Forest Grove playing against Ida B. Wells, Mountainside's playing Roseburg, Liberty of South Medford, Glencoe Sheldon, So I've got teams all over the place. I suspect half of those teams will be gone after Wednesday, but we'll see. What else do you guys have going on volleyball wise? Who wants to start?
I got a couple good contenders in the 6A bracket. So I've got, you know, Oregon City, like I mentioned earlier, and then also Nelson. Those are both top five seeds in the 6A tournament. So those should be, you know, those are the teams that I'm kind of expecting to make deeper runs there. Although, you know, they can only really go so deep. A lot of my teams got put into the B quadrant of this bracket. So I have five 6A teams that I cover who made it into the 6A playoffs, and four of them are in that B bracket. And so I could potentially have two second round matchups right there that are all my team. And that's Lake Ridge and West Lynn are the other two who are in there. So I think on Wednesday, I am planning to kind of bounce around a little bit. Oregon City starts at 6 p.m. So does North Clackamas Christian School. The 1A team, they're the number four seed in that bracket. And I will already be in Oregon City. So I may try to bounce around to those games a little bit. But I think the one I'll spend the most time at is Grant and Lake Ridge. You know, for the first round, like to go to a little bit of a closer matchup there than the super high seeded ones. So we will see what comes out of that. Quinn Takashima, the head coach for Lake Ridge, she's in her first year coaching the Pacers. She came over from Yanhill Carlton after turning their program around, and she's done a good job with a pretty senior heavy Lake Ridge team here. So it'd be interesting to see how far they can push, and a second round matchup could potentially put them against Oregon City. And what's interesting is that Lake Ridge was the only team to take a set off of Oregon City in all of Three Rivers League play. The Pioneers went undefeated in league play, didn't drop a set until the final week when they lost one set to Lake Ridge. So, you know, they are a really impressive squad there. I mentioned Paige Thies, the one I did a feature on. Sammy Keatley, their senior libero, she's their only senior. So they're all kind of playing for her, you know, kind of dedicating this run to her, and they're going for their first ever state championship in volleyball. So, you know, that's one I'll be kind of following. But for Wednesday, I plan to be at the Lake Ridge Grant one a little more. And then Lake Oswego, the one team I hadn't mentioned yet, is in the they will be traveling to Sprague for a game there. So we'll see how that rolls out. And then in 5A, I've got Wilsonville, who is definitely the favorites coming into it. So, you know, LaSalle and Putnam are two other teams from my area who I expect to be there. But Wilsonville so far is the team to beat. So we'll see if anybody can do it. I'm excited to see what the matchups kind of look like when the 5A brackets come out.
Tanner, any thoughts on your volleyball territory?
Loads of thoughts. No, I'm just kidding. Newberg, as was mentioned before, is going to play host to St. Mary's Academy. Newberg, the 14 seed, St. Mary's 19. But it's going to be more even, I think, than, you know, the 5 seed differential would suggest. Newberg kind of ended the season, you know, kind of on an up and down roller coaster. They at one point had a 5-game win streak and then finished the season 3-4. So I think this is a team that's trying to find a little consistency, which is not where you want to be going into the playoffs. Their last game was a 3-2 loss against Glencoe. So I think that'll be fairly close in terms of first round action. That's my only 6A team.
Speaking of them, wasn't it last year we were talking about the roster debacle that didn't have their University of Oregon volleyball commit on the roster? Is she playing?
I haven't heard back yet. She's still not on the roster though, so I am unsure. I think that's one of those things, like when I'm there on, what is that, Wednesday? That's one of those things I'm going to be looking for, is like, okay, is Sophie on the, is she like dressed? Is she like on the bench at all? Like, is she going to play? I think that will kind of be the deciding factor in that game. It's not like the other girls on that Newberg team like aren't good, like they are, but you know, D1 commit is like an extra level of talent. So you know, I will be interested to see what kind of goes on with that. At 5A, I've got Canby. They're going to be in the bracket. They dropped a pretty close game. No, they didn't. They got surprised by Rex Putnam. Got swept 3-0, and the season series between them ended up 1-1. So Canby dropped a little bit in the rankings, but because they finished top four in the NWOC, they're going to be in the bracket somewhere. It's just where are they gonna end up? And as of recording right now, the 5A bracket not released, rankings haven't been frozen yet. At 4A, I don't have anybody in the bracket as of yet, but Malala plays Skepus in play in action. Be interested to see if they can sneak in and who they'll get a road game against. 2A, kind of a fun story. Jervis Volleyball makes the state playoffs for the first time since 2007. It's been a real dry spell for the Jervis Volleyball team. I don't think they've had a winning season since then either. So they're going to go into the state playoffs, I want to say 14 and 10, 15 and 10. Let me check real quick. 15 and 9. Jervis going in 15 and 9, finished third in the Tri-River Conference. So their coach, Molly McCarger, seems really high on them. She thinks they're more athletic than the team that got to the state finals in 2006. They just need to put it all together mentally, and they should be an interesting team to watch out for. And then way down at 1A, but not to be forgotten by any means, is St. Paul. They swept the Casco League, didn't drop a single set the entire year, even in their league playoff game. They're going to go in as the number 3 seed, and they're matched up against Triangle Lake. And, you know, honestly, that first round and even that second round of playoffs, I'm expecting St. Paul to just roll. But you kind of never know, and that's why we do playoffs. So, but, you know, St. Paul should be the heavy favorite until they get to the Elite Eight. So those are the teams I've got going on in the volleyball state playoffs.
Austin, what's going on downtown?
Downtown. Well, we got 4 PIL teams into the 6A bracket. You got Central Catholic in there as well, and St. Mary's. You know, I'll run through the ones that I'm probably not going to see. Lincoln at 31 seed. Wade will see him going against Westview. You know, good season for the Cardinals. They've got a brand new gym that looks awesome, but this is probably where the season ends. We've got the Mick matchup between McDaniel and I believe McNary. Probably another loss for the PIL there, but still a great season for McDaniel. I touched on it last week, their turnaround, and you know, it's been impressive to see. So even getting any kind of playoff game is great for them. Grant going to Lake Ridge. Andy touched on that. I expect Lake Ridge to win, but still a good season for Grant. 14-2 in league and 15-5 overall is nothing to be hanging your head about. The one I will be seeing is Wells. They went 16-0 in league. They're the 15th seed hosting Forest Grove. You know, last year was tough for the PIL volleyball wise. They all lost round one. So I think Wells is going to be the best bet for them to get a win. You know, I'm not really sure. With Forest Grove, you know, Grant last year, I think, was 15 seed. They might have been 16. And I think they got swept at home. So, you know, it's tough to kind of gauge with these PIL teams kind of what they do against other squads. But, yeah, no, Wells is great. You know, I wrote a feature on them earlier in the year on their trio of, you know, Eleanor Pig, Zoe Mish, and Carly Straub. They're all great. You know, Eleanor Pig runs this team as a setter. You know, she just does everything. I mean, block, she's part of the block sets. You know, she's taller too, and she can jump. She can surprise some teams with some attacks, so she's fun to watch. I wish she went to Roosevelt since her first name is Eleanor, but hey, whatever. St. Mary's. I'm just getting some shaking heads from all my jokes. St. Mary's. Tanner touched on it, but you know, I do think it is a potential upset spot just because forgetting her name, Rick Newberg, but if she is out, that's a kind of a big hole to fill. And St. Mary's has that underdog mentality. They got that dog in them, I guess you could say. that's in 6A. The only other team that I could see is Portland Christian in 2A. Unfortunately lost a playoff game, I believe, to oh man, I don't want to say this wrong. I'm still new here. Napa, or is it Canapa? Do we pronounce the K in this?
It's Napa, yeah.
Okay, cool. You never know, you know.
I don't know. Is there any of them that they actually pronounce the K when you go KN? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think so, but you never know. I mean, some of these names that Tanner and Andy have told me about have surprised me, like Klatskanee.
Well,
and what was it? Willamina?
Isn't it Klatskanee?
It's Klatskanee.
I'm still wrong. I'm still wrong. See, this is why.
But okay, Austin, I will give you a little bit of a life raft here. I grew up in Oregon, and I only learned about Klatskanee, I think, last year, maybe. I've been saying it wrong my whole life. So, you know, either that or I'm just drowning with you now. But yeah, so that one was a new one for me to learn through.
Yay, I'm not alone. All right. But enough with the names, you know, Portland Christian. So they lost that to Napa. They're sitting at 15 in the OSAA rankings. I believe 2A has 3 at-large spots. And from the last projections I did, Portland Christian was the last team in. So we'll see if that stays. Those get finalized tonight. And if they get in, good for them. But that is it for me in volleyball.
One last thing, since nobody else is around to do this, and this used to be my area, I will speak up for the Central Oregon contingent in CMG real quick. Just to note that Crook County, they're a top 8 team in 4A, so they're already locked into the bracket there. They don't have to do any of the play-in stuff that 4A worries about. And they've got a pretty solid team over there, the Cowboys, especially, or the Cowgirls, I should say. Now that they've dropped down to 4A, I mean, they were a good 5A squad. So that's a team to definitely watch out for. And then in the 2A bracket, Culver is a top 5 squad that is got a lot of very talented players who have played together for a while. And I know Brooke Bush as their setter, senior there, and she made the first team all Tri-River. So just a couple shout-outs to some of the Central Oregon teams making some noise in volleyball.
Well, obviously the volleyball we talked about starts Wednesday, and then the second round is Saturday. Saturday, if anybody who's ever worked in this business in the state understands that Saturday is like one of the busiest days of our year, essentially. We'll have volleyball second round. We'll have soccer first rounds. We'll have volleyball first rounds, if you want to call it that, depending on the classification you're in. So there's stuff going on all over the place. And all of us will be working with very little sleep because we'll be up late for Friday night football. And that's a good segue into our next segment, which is, in fact, football. Tanner has his hand up. I guess he has something to say.
We'll also have some cross-country districts going on Saturday as well. Don't forget that.
On Saturday, districts?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, ooh, maybe not you, but I've got North Marion and Woodburn competing on Saturday. So that'll be cracking.
Why would they do this? Tanner's got his hands.
Why would they do anything? I mean, there's a lot of questions for a lot of people in this state in regards to why they do things and when they do them. So
the answer is never to make our lives easier.
No, they don't care about us at all. I mean, they don't care. They only care about us when they want us to care about them. So, you know, hey, listen, I just say it's give and take, you know, work with us. We'll work with you. That's the way I look at it. All right. Well, let's talk a little football. Obviously this is the last of the kind of regular season. And I guess I say that tentatively because there actually is some postseason action going on this week as well. If you're depending on what classification you're in, the 5A is are doing a lot of like weird play-in league stuff. I know at least I have some of that in my territory with Forest Grove and Hillsborough, doing some weird special district one, special district whatever stuff. It's confusing. It's always confusing. I never know who's playing who. Matter of fact, yesterday was this morning was the first time I saw who Forest Grove is playing in their play. I guess it's a play-in game. I don't even understand like what it is. What it's like who either. Wins the league, but then some of it actually is dependent. Will like leads into who gets into the state playoffs. So I don't know. I never understand. Since they started doing this, it's just weird to me. But I guess I can start with some of my football action. It's kind of rivalry week. So Tiger Tualatin are playing this week, which is, you know, always a big game. A little more interesting this year because Tiger kind of picked it up from last season, which they struggled. So I'm actually really curious to see how that game goes. Tualatin on paper should win the game. But, you know, if you're saying they should win the game, it's a stretch because, you know, Tiger, they're both at the same record, I believe, 6-2. Tiger has lost two in a row. Tualatin had lost two in a row and then won last week. So, you know, that's a game that both teams will be up for. So I'm excited to see that. Outside of that, the Metro League's winding down, but has for the most part been taken care of. When Jesuit, I mean, honestly, made Mountainside look pretty bad last week, and there's no way to dance around that. Mountainside had one first down in the first half. I think they ended up with maybe four in the game, most of which came on the final drive when, you know, both teams had backups playing. You know, Jesuit really kind of showed, I mean, I guess them, like, what the standard is in the Metro League and really what the standard is to be an elite state playoff team. Because Mountainside's a good team, and I don't want to take anything away from them, but, you know, there's a difference between a good team and the great teams in this state. We talked about this. We talked about it last week. But Mountainside kind of had that, you know, slap in the face a bit last week in that game against Jesuit. You know, and on my side of town, it's really what's boiling down to. Really, you've got the Jesuits, you've got the Tualatins, maybe throw Tiger in there. Banks remains 8-0, undefeated. They haven't played a close game yet. Matter of fact, I think they've had three straight shutouts in the 3A level. So they maintain their kind of dominance over what, unfortunately, has been a pretty weak schedule, which is not their fault, but it's just how it is. And they've only allowed 27 points this year defensively. So until they start seeing some teams that are going to matter in the playoffs, which won't be this week either. So playing North Marion, who I think is not good either. Tanner, you might be able to touch on that. You're shaking your head. So, North Marion's going to have some work to do against Banks. So on my side of town, I do have Liberty playing Sherwood, which is kind of a de facto league championship game. Sherwood has looked pretty good in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Liberty has won some games, but, you know, last year, the Pacific Conference always kind of comes down to this, or at least recently it has, where Liberty Sherwood tend to play at the end of the year, and they always seem to be playing for the league title. Last year, I think there was a little more up for grabs, whereas this year, honestly, I think Sherwood will win that game, and I think it won't be all that close. But I could be wrong. You know, Liberty, they do what they do, and they do it pretty well. So it's not as if they're a bad football team. They're not. But having seen them both play, I would be surprised if that's, you know, a game that stays within 10 to 14 points. But we'll see. Anybody, you know, it's the meat of the football schedule really begins next week, right, with the playoffs. So I feel like this is the one week of the year where football takes a little bit of a backseat, only because of what's going on with volleyball and soccer. But does anybody else have any big football games going on, games that really matter this week?
Yeah, I've got one in Grant, or Roosevelt is going to Grant, which is, you know, a de facto title game, ? It's kind of weird because Grant right now is, I believe, 5-0. Actually, no, probably 6-0. Let me pull it up real quick. But Roosevelt only has one loss. Here it is. Grant is 6-0. Sorry, I shorted them again. Grant is 6-0. Roosevelt is 5-1. But what makes it interesting is Jefferson is also 5-1. And Roosevelt's one loss is Jefferson. So if Roosevelt won this game and Jefferson is going to win theirs, so they all three of these teams would be 6-1. And it would just be, you know, rock, paper, scissors type deal. You know, Grant beat Jefferson, Jefferson beat Roosevelt, and Roosevelt beat Grant. So, you know, if you're a fan of chaos, cheer for Roosevelt, because who knows what the heck's going to happen. I'm going to have to find out what the tiebreaker is, because, you know, normally they could just say, nah, you're just all co-champs. But you know, you look at their rank, Grant is 17, Jefferson is 18, and Roosevelt's 27. And a league champion now is guaranteed a spot in that top 16. So they have to break the tie somehow to determine which one of these PIL teams gets to go be the 16 seed and get smashed by West Lynn. So, yeah, so no, Grant and Roosevelt will be fun this week. You know, it was fun last year. It was pretty much the same situation last year. It didn't happen the last week of the season, but it was pretty much a de facto matchup for who's going to win league. And I think it was double overtime. Grant won 44, 43, something like that. They made the extra point on their touchdown while Roosevelt didn't. So, yeah, no, it's that one's going to be a lot of fun. That's where I'm going to be Friday night for sure. But, yeah, no, Jefferson, they've had a great turnaround year. You know, they kind of started out tough, 0-2, but they dominated league outside of losing to 15-0 to Grant. They're going to play McDaniel this week and see how many points they can score against McDaniel. Yeah, and Park Rose, too. Hey, you know, Park Rose is not playing for anything, but, you know, they're playing Malala this week. Both teams are winless, so someone's going to be walking away with a win, so that's always fun.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, who, you know, in regards to who wins that league and who gets to go play West Lynn in the first round, you know, and I talked about a little, you know, as far as who the elite versus the good. And what I failed to talk about in my area last week was Forest Grove, because Forest Grove, and I brought this up earlier, they played Wilsonville, and it was a game to see who got to play in the league championship game with, you know, Forest Grove. It was 3-0 at the time in the league. I think Wilsonville was 2-1 or 3-1 in the league. I don't recall, but you know, it was whoever won the game was going to get one of the spots in the league championship game. Well, you know, Forest Grove had won 3 in a row. They were feeling pretty good, and they had been playing a lot better. But you know, Wilsonville came in and really just stomped them. I mean, there was just no other way to look at it. It wasn't close in any way, shape, or form. Forest Grove couldn't block Wilsonville's front seven, and similarly to Mountainside, Forest Grove I think had one first down in the first half. You know, they didn't end up with more than three or four in the game. And again, it was with backups towards the end of the game. So, you know, talking to their coaching staff and really even their players after the game, you know, in the huddle afterwards, their message was that you guys have kind of seen what it takes. Like, that's the measuring stick right there. Like, that team and the way in which they play is the way in which you need to play if you want to get to that level, which that's, you know, that's their goal, right? Their goal is, you know, this year was to try to make the playoffs, but their goal ultimately is to try to become a team that can win a 5A state championship. So, you know, they talked about, you know, you need to get in the weight room. You need to play other sports, which I found to be interesting afterwards, where their coach talked about how these kids, they want them to play their sports, whether it's, you know, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball, whether it's tennis, whatever, like do more to become a better athlete, because that's what you need to do in order to kind of get to the level of that team that just really took you to task. And so Forest Grove now, which they still have a chance to make the playoffs if they win this week, the way I understand it. So they're playing Hood River Valley this week in a league playoff game. And I believe if they win, they'll be in position to make the playoffs, the state playoffs. So, you know, those that's kind of where you are with football in particular, is like the great, the good, and the teams that are, you know, trying to make something happen, which I would put the Forest Groves, the Hillsboroughs, you know, this year, like, you know, there's just those teams that are trying to get in the playoffs. That's a big win for them. But then there's the teams that want to make runs in the playoffs, and there's teams that want to win the state championships. So those are kind of the levels. And I think you see that play out now, and you'll see that play out in the first couple of weeks of the state playoffs, really, no matter what level you're at. But I found that interesting in football, in my area, at least.
Yeah, and you know, that transitions pretty nicely into the rest of the that special district in 5A, to the top of it, which is Putnam and Wilsonville, who will be going for the district championship. So those two teams, they're undefeated in league play so far. Those are both in my coverage area. That should be a fun one to watch. I mean, when Putnam won their first four games, I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical because they came against teams with not great records. They came against teams that haven't had great seasons since. So, you know, I wasn't quite sure what to believe. I saw them with my own eyes and thought, you know, this is a talented team. They're big and they're fast. But again, I was watching them against a team that was smaller and slower than they were. So, you kind of take some of these things with a grain of salt. So this game, Putnam Wilsonville, I'm planning to be there myself to cover this. This would be a pretty great game between those two teams. Putnam is 8-0 for the first time since 1986. So they are just in the midst of a historic season. Wilsonville is aiming to get back to the to the state championship game, or to the state championship game. I believe they lost in the semifinal last year to Thurston. They put themselves through a gauntlet at the start of the year. They kind of had their record not looking great, but now they're sitting here at number two in the 5A classification, and Putnam number three. So, this should be a really, really fun game to watch. So that's one of the games that's going on in my area this week. Up in 6A, we've got a couple rivalry games going on in the Three Rivers League. We've got the Battle of the Lake. So 6-2 Lake Oswego taking on 2-6 Lake Ridge. Those are teams obviously going in different directions right now, but Lake Ridge is still trying to hold on to a spot in the Columbia Cup, and it's the rivalry game. So they're going to be, they're going to get up for that game, and we'll see what happens. The thing about Lake Oswego, they've won a lot of close games. They've won a lot of low scoring games. So Lake Ridge has a pretty explosive offense, at least the potential for it. So could be an interesting one there. West Lynn, Oregon City is another rivalry match, and that one should be a little bit more one-sided, I think. West Lynn just really has not been challenged all that much since the Sheldon game. If Oregon City wants to try to get up for this one and shut them down, it could happen. I mean, that 42-30 game between West Lynn and Tualatin was about as close as it's been for anybody in the past couple months with West Lynn. So we'll see if Oregon City can hang. And if not, I still think that Pioneer team is good enough to win a game in the Columbia Cup if that's where they end up. They've got strong guys on the defensive line. They've got a great running back in Marcus Jordan. So, it could be maybe a blessing for Oregon City to end up in a bracket where they might have a chance to win more games than they would in the championship bracket. So we'll see what happens there. Nelson trying to solidify their spot in the top 16, and they are taking Nelson has Gresham this week. That should be a win for them, I think. And then Clackamas versus Reynolds, that'll be an interesting one. Clackamas may need to win that game in order to stay in the hunt for the Columbia Cup. They've had kind of a struggling year with some injuries, with some results just not going their way, a couple bad bounces. And, so they're trying to kind of hold on to a postseason spot. So Clackamas Reynolds will be another one with some intrigue to it in my area. Oh, and then, you got Gladstone LaSalle Prep, and that is a de facto playoff game. I mean, Gladstone should win that game, I believe, but if LaSalle Prep wins, they're in. And I believe Milwaukee also has a shot to make the playoff still if they're able to get a good result against Tillamook and if Seaside loses to St. Helens. So I don't know how possible or plausible that necessarily is at this point, especially just Tillamook's a pretty strong team, and Seaside's been on the roll lately. So we'll see. But Milwaukee did their job last week, beat St. Helens, and kept themselves alive. So more power to them if they try to make it into the 4A playoff bracket there.
Tanner, thoughts?
A few games I want to direct your attention to, but one I really want to focus in on. The ones I want to kind of point out as games of importance. St. Paul hosts league rival Perrydale at the 1A 8-man football level. That game should be a St. Paul win, but it's kind of interesting because they're going to retire the jersey of deceased St. Paul firefighter Austin Smith, who lost his life in February fighting fire. And they're going to have a ceremony before the game. They're going to retire his jersey. I have, I guess, part-time reporter Phil Hawkins is going to get in touch with Tony Smith, kind of talk about what it was like to, coach Austin, kind of talk about who he was as a player, who he was as a person. So there's a little bit of there's sentimental value in that game, and I think I think St. Paul should end their season, the regular season, unbeaten. At the 3A level, you have a really good game for the Special District 2 championship. Unbeaten's Kennedy and Sandium Christian are playing. Both teams are 8-0 right now. And really, I think the winner of this game is probably going to be ranked number one in the state at 3A. What's interesting about 3A right now is there are still five unbeaten teams. Kennedy and Sandium Christian will play. South Umpqua and Cascade Christian will play. And then, as Wade mentioned earlier, Banks will be playing North Marion on Friday as well. But the game I will be at this Friday, and the game that is very interesting to me for nostalgic reasons, Woodburn is playing Estacada for a league title. And this is weird to me because this Woodburn football program has gone through a few different coaches in the last few years, but they're still trending in the right direction. They're still trending towards like a good team. And if they beat Estacada, they might have a claim to kind of sneak into that great distinction that Wade mentioned earlier, because they've done their job against bad teams. They've beaten bad teams convincingly. They've beaten another good team in Gladstone by, I think, 21 points is what that ended up shaking out to. And then they have a chance to knock off one of like the really good 4A teams in Estacada for the league title. When I was going to high school in Silverton back in 2007 through 2011, to date myself, the Woodburn football game, when they were up at 5A in the Mid-Willamette Conference, was always looked on as like, all right, even if we're having a rough schedule, we're going to get a win against Woodburn because that's just who they are. That's not the case anymore. Like, Woodburn will go out there and they have like a cadre of running backs who are just going to like absolutely ruin you if you're not ready for them. They've got a improving passing game with quarterback Cruz Feliz, and it's looking like this team is legit. So if they can beat Estacada and get that league title, it'll be huge for the program. They're going to get into the playoffs this year after narrowly missing it last year with a 6-3 record. They were just, you know, ranked low and missed out. So a lot riding on this game for Woodburn. And it'll be their final home game of the regular season. So I'm expecting a big crowd to be out there as well.
What, anybody else have any thoughts in regards to responding to any of the football talk? I know that, you know, we're all kind of looking forward to that first real playoff game, but does anybody have any thoughts or anything you forgot to talk about?
Nothing here except Central Catholic. Didn't mention them, but they're going to play David Douglas this week and cement their Mount Hood title. And they'll see how far down they fall, because David Douglas is ranked 42nd in the OSA rankings. So unfortunately for the Rams, just playing that game will probably hurt their ranking. You kind of saw it last year. I think the Rams, they won the state title, but I think they went into the tournament as the 4 seed, even though they were undefeated last year. So it's kind of interesting in the Mount Hood. You know, it's been cool to see Nelson kind of step up. I'm looking at it right now, they're 11. And, you know, Barlow too, you know, they're sitting at 16, they're 4-4, but I think they are going to be interesting. And, you know, we don't have our East Side guys on here, Chris Kaiser and Angel Rosas, but, you know, they cover out east there and they know all about Barlow and Sandy. And I think they could, you know, potentially surprise somebody that I know they've definitely got talent on those teams.
We're noting on that Barlow team too, their losses are to Lake Oswego, Mountainside, Central Catholic, and Nelson. I mean, those are all really solid teams. So, that's a tough schedule.
Yeah, no, it's kind of what we talked about last week with this Columbia Cup being a nice spot for, you know, the teams that do make a difficult schedule like that. You know, Barlow lost all those games, so they're kind of shown that they're not in that upper echelon, but they're still a very good team and can go win something. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see Barlow make some kind of run in the Columbia Cup, or, you know, they're sitting at 16. They might even, you know, they could sneak their way into the championship bracket.
They're also the only team who scored 2 touchdowns against Central Catholic this year. The only Oregonian team.
They sure are. Yeah. St. John Bosco
I think it'll be interesting to see what, I mean, I think from a side note, to the games this week will be how things shake out in the rankings. You know, we've talked about that Columbia Cup now for 2 weeks. And so I think it'll be interesting from probably a players, coaches, and just a viewing perspective. I mean, people that are on those bubbles are going to be interested to see how things shake out, win or lose this week. Because as we know with those rankings, sometimes even if you lose and you're playing a really good team, that can actually give you a bump in the rankings. So to see who kind of slips into, whether it's, you know, you're on that 32 bubble, you know, in a 6A situation, trying to get into some sort of Columbia Cup situation, or if you're trying to work your way up into the upper bracket, you know, it'll be interesting come, I don't know, to come the end of the weekend to see when everything, they lock those in and when everything, how everything shakes out. I'm interested to see where people end up and who they'll end up playing and things of that nature. All right, we wrapping it up?
Yeah, Wade, but what do you hate this week, Wade? Give it to us.
It's funny you ask. I almost forgot, but
You hate me. Okay, I see.
It's somewhat obvious, but somewhat not. What I hate this week is I hate smoke. Smoke made my life miserable last week, not because I breathed it, not because it caused me any physical grief, but because it caused me mental strain by canceling games that I needed to see, canceling games that I wanted to see. And my problem with it is that, and as I mentioned, I think to Austin in one of our team's chats, the food, fast food these kids eat every week, vapes that they smoke every week, infectious disease that they encounter every week, energy drinks they consume every week are all worse than the smoke that was in the air last week. So what I hate is smoke because it made my life miserable.
Wade's not looking for the smoke this week.
No, no smoke. I think we're good. I think since it's raining every day now, I think the smoke is a thing of the past until probably next spring or early summer.
Wait, so that does that mean you're happy for the rain then this week, Wade?
No, I'm not. if we want to get into things that I'm happy about, that's a different game. It's a different game. All right, well, let's call it quits. Another informative educational discussion on prep sports for us this week. I guess we'll be back next week to talk about what happened in the volleyball soccer playoffs and where we're headed in the football playoffs. So on that note, see everybody next week.